Hello, guys and gals, sports fans of all ages. It's time for yet another Midnight Blue and Gold Launchpad podcast. I'm Rocket Ryan.
And I am Pat Gillick, a.k.a. PJ Speller.
Living up to his name tonight. And then we got a new addition. Let's go ahead and introduce him there, Pat.
We're going to introduce you to one Zachary Pauhida. You've heard him the last couple of episodes, and we have decided to bring him on as a full-time member of the Midnight Blue and Gold Launchpad podcast.
All right, we got some from the mailbag here.
Oh,
Dave from Huron and Jack from Huron, it must be related or something, said Zach is a breath of fresh air. So that's what put us over the edge.
Yeah, he is a fresh of breath air. But Zach, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. It's an honor that be able to keep coming back and then now being a part of this. It makes me happy. It gives me something to do on my Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
But I'm just really happy to be here, and I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, it'll be nice to share in all the revenue we're cranking in.
Oh, the 17 cents yeah. Yearly?
Yeah, and the beers that were promised in the contract.
That is a good contrast.
It brings the average age down, too, to about 30.
Yeah, it does, actually.
I got to do the math. We'll figure it out.
So tonight we're going to take a look at the debacle that was the Ohio State University and University of Toledo football game. I say debacle, but just because of the final score. I don't think it was a horrible beatdown. We didn't lose anybody or a lot of people to injury, which was nice to see. The Rockets hung tough in the early going and answered with a couple of scores early on, and it went downhill from there, didn't it, Ryan?
Oh, it sure did. And real quickly, the average age now is 44.6. So, in case you're wondering.
Got out the calculator, didn't you?
I sure did. But, yeah, I mean, the way I looked at it going in, I didn't have a feeling we were going to win. Zach was the only one who predicted that Toledo would win. Of course, he's like his old man. Toledo's always going to win. I mean, he was just so optimistic. But I didn't think we'd get an ass whipping like we did. I mean, it was just a rough outing. My big thing was, I might have said to you, Pat, on his opening drive, we don't need to force a three and out, but they can't score on this drive. We went down, what, 7 or 8 plays and punched it right in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you could just tell right from there it was going to be a long night. So bad that left at halftime, saw Coach Kowalczyk out in the parking lot. A lot of people left at halftime. But it's not to say we still don't love the Rockets. It's a long season. Ohio State is loaded. I mean, I can't tell you how many 5 stars they have. I mean, I don't care enough to look. But
Kyle brought up an interesting stat before our podcast here that if you look at Ohio State's offensive line, there is not one player on that roster, freshman through senior year, that is under 6'6".
That's strapping young lads.
Yeah, strapping young lads. They you know, they're all at least 3-star and up. So there is a talent disparity. But I think we performed pretty well in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we came right back and scored, I mean, Thomas Zyros on that nice little 50-yard connection with Daquan Finn, that really that quieted the crowd down a little bit. Got us fired up there in the C deck. A lot of high fives around. I didn't think we broke out U of Toledo.
Yeah.
And
the TOL.
I tell you what, Pat was in rare form. Zach, you missed it. You might have heard him from where you were sitting. So
I think I might have. Maybe.
You're wondering what
I did have a bit of a raspy voice Sunday morning. So oh, yeah. I was doing my best.
Still, you know what? A good time. I mean, we had a great tailgate, you know, honoring the 5th anniversary of passing of Steve Pauhida. Good turnout. I mean, his Zach's uncle Doug put on a great tailgate. We had some legends show up. We had Ken Moyer, former Cincinnati Bengal, who played with the Rockets from 85 to 89, along with Chad Diggs, former offensive lineman in the early 2000s. Walter Atkins, another former player in the 2000s who was a defensive back. We had Brett Bull, the son of Al Bull, the one who is responsible for – Al Bull, that should say, is the responsible for the renovation of the Glass Bowl. Brett, of course, Ohio Brett, motivational speaker, does a great job. I mean, we just had tons of people. Drew Chambers, Chris Smith. I mean, they all showed up. It was impressive. Of course, we had
it was a plethora.
Steady cast of characters. You know, your Paul Beaches, your Todd Beach, even Tom Beach showed up along with, of course, Zim, Paulie, you, me. I mean, it was a good time.
And don't forget Kyle and Haas.
Kyle Haas, Jeff Condon. I mean, geez. I mean, we just go down the list. But getting to the game now, you know, we'll look at some of the positives. You know, Finn, just 10 of 19. Did have a couple touchdown passes. He was sacked twice. I did like the fact that Penny Boone averaged 5.1 yards a carry. My question is, why didn't they give the ball to him more? But, you know, it could have been a situational type thing. We only averaged 3.8 yards per carry overall. But Finn, once again, leading the way in the rushing department, 10 yards a carry, 7 carries, and 70 yards. So did a great job there. Deontay Johnson, you know, future NFL player, had 10 tackles. No tackles for loss. In fact, we had 2 tackles for loss. Rourke Freeburg, Darius Alexander each had 1. So the fact that, you know, we weren't able to penetrate much and get stuff done on the defensive side of the ball was not helping whatsoever. But, you know, it's on to San Diego State. Let's win this game, go 3-1, starting the MAC.
One of the things that I noticed post-game was that Daquan Finn opened a lot of people's eyes to not only his talent, but to the Rockets in general. You know, a lot of people said, hey, you guys are going to roll through the MAC. You guys should be able to win a lot of the rest of your games. And Daquan Finn got quite a bit of notice on social media and in different outlets saying, well, how did this guy slip through all the big programs' fingers? Why is he at Toledo? And it's like, you know what? They all had their chance. They didn't want him. And people were asking why. Maybe he wasn't as accurate when he was in high school. He was more of just a running quarterback, but he was Mr. Football in the state of Michigan. So, I mean, it wasn't like he was, you know, people had a blind eye to him.
Right.
I think that bodes well for the future of this program. And I hope against hope that, you know, he stays with Toledo.
Your thoughts, Zach, on Daquan Finn?
I'm actually starting to really warm up to Daquan Finn. Last year, I was not a huge fan. I just think he needed a little bit more work in certain aspects of his game. But this year, he's been coming out, and I think he's definitely our best offensive player right now. He is making running look easy. He's starting to hit his targets, and you know, he even has like a little Patty Mahomes style roll out and throw where he can throw on the run really well. And I'm praying we don't lose him to the portal. I don't think that'll be the case, but
I think you never know. It's nice too because he's close to home, so the family can watch him. They can come and watch.
And we're a big school. We're a big team. We're a big football school. So I mean, it's not like he completely missed the action.
Right. Right, but you're right, and he's showing some things now that he's added some comparisons to Jalen Hurts in his running and throwing style that he can throw on the run. He can do things, and the good thing is he doesn't automatically default to running.
No,
His eyes up, keeping his eyes scanning the field.
He's definitely a patient. Sometimes I think he should run quicker, like before it breaks down that far, but he waits, he takes his time, he's looking, he's trying to make the play work, and then when it's time to boot, scoot, and boogie, he does, and right. he gets it going.
And he's quick as hell. And I think that was the one thing that opened a lot of people's eyes, that Ohio State was taking the wrong angles on him. Mm-hmm. They were missing him badly. You know, they didn't realize how quick he was and what initial first step he has. And, you know, I did also see comparisons to Lamar Jackson and his style of play.
Especially the running style.
Exactly.
I think Lamar has that same field of view where when they're running, Daquan Finn, Lamar, they see the field a little bit differently than a lot of people do, and they can make those adjustments on the fly, and they're making people miss like it's nothing.
Yeah, instead of looking at the defender in front of them, they're looking at the next defender.
Yeah.
You know, so they already know it. He already knows what he's going to do with that first defender. And, you know, the flat out speed, the diving touchdown was awesome.
Oh, it was electric.
Yeah. So that was the bright spot that came out of that game for sure.
You know, we'll put this game to bed, but I got to mention one thing that's kind of cool. Tim Caffey played defensive back for the Rockets back in the early 90s. under Saban and Pinkel. His son got in the game, scored the last touchdown on a 49-yard run. True freshman, preferred walk-on from Hubbard, Ohio. Had 2,600 yards as a senior last year. And
wow,
we actually he was actually on our bus last
year. I remember him.
Yeah, he was on a recruiting visit to UT and stepped on our bus. Had no idea he was that good. I mean, I was more impressed talking to Tim Caffey, former Rocket.
Well, he did spend some time on the bus while his dad ran over to Savage Hall and took care of some business. And we talked with him and his buddy, who was also from, I believe, Youngstown Cardinal Mooney. And nice guy, nice family, and great to see him out there doing big things as a true freshman.
So he's playing for us, though, right?
Ohio State.
Oh, he's playing for Ohio State.
Yeah.
All right. I was confused there.
He was on a visit to Toledo last year when he came on our bus, but his dad played for Toledo.
Rocket, I guess the bus just didn't sell it for him.
Yeah, you think that would have been a selling upgrades. Point right there, you know?
You got to do some upgrades.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, we got to get the 100-inch screen across the back of the bus.
Now that we got Chuck Ely's name on the helmet, maybe that'll help.
There you go.
Moving on to San Diego State. This week's opponent out in San Diego at their brand new Snapdragon Stadium. First year for it.
Which I heard is a disaster.
Yes. I don't know if you saw the thing on Twitter where somebody was at the Arizona game and they built it with no shade. Of course, that game was played at 12:30, same time as our game is going to be played this week.
But in August.
Yeah, that was during a record heat. You know, it was 100 degrees. So it's high on Saturday, almost supposed to be 82. So we should be all right.
There you go.
They were showing people getting any bit of shade they could, like just leaning up against the – you know, sitting against little stones, just trying to get some shade. It was crazy.
Yeah, and they said once the gift shop opened, there was a line wrapped around damn near half the building just to get in the air conditioning in the shade. Oh, yeah. You know, people were underneath the ledges on concession stands sitting just to get a little bit of shade because, you know, they had people dropping like flies, too. And there was no cooling station set up. And whoever the architects were that designed that stadium were complete morons for Southern California.
You're in San Diego. Come on, man. Like, you're going to have people there that are not in their 20s.
Right.
Hydrated. And you're going to let them roast.
Yeah. And you think about it. I mean, yeah, the median temperature in San Diego is probably 74 degrees. But you start playing games in August when it's still in the 90s. Yeah, it's not a good situation.
Well, you think Tom Beach would have designed that or something? Our buddy Tom.
If Tom would design that, he definitely would have designed something good.
He's no Mike Brady, though. My favorite architect.
That's right.
Next to Tom Beach, that is. So, you know, we were originally supposed to play San Diego State back in 2020, and then some virus or something came along. I can't remember.
I heard about that.
And ended up canceling.
Monkeypox, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think. Well,
no, I thought it was Ebola.
Oh, you might be right.
Yeah. or SARS or some damn thing. But, they were supposed to come here in September or 2 years ago. Hopefully, I think they're going to make that up in a couple of years. They're going to make a return trip here. But we ended up, canceling the season and ended up with an abbreviated max season where we went 4-2. But getting back to San Diego State, I mean, this is a team, I don't want to say a traditional power, but a team that has, they went 10-2 last year. And had a lot of people were saying this could be a team, you know, some preseason prognostications had them in the top 25. And so far, it's not been such a good year for them. They lost big in their home opener in their brand new stadium to Arizona. And then they beat Idaho State. After that, they went to Utah and got killed there. So this could be a team ripe for the picking there, Pat and Zach.
They could be, if you look at them over the last, I believe, six seasons, they have had at least 10 wins per season, and they have gone into the Pac-12 or 10 or 6 or whatever it is now, and they have, you know, effectively beaten a lot of teams in there. They haven't beaten Oregon, they haven't beaten USC, but they've beaten almost every other Pac-12 team that they've played. Which is impressive, you know, again, for a mid-major. They have also lost 7 straight games when playing an opponent for the first time, which they are on this Saturday.
Yeah.
They, you know, Toledo and San Diego are very similar. They have similar records over the past 6-7 years. If you look at the records of the coaches, they're very similar at their current universities. So I think it's going to be a good matchup. Like you said, they've had a rough start. They're 1-2. They got thumped by Arizona. Well, not thumped. They lost by 18 to Arizona.
Not a terrible loss.
No. And in their home stadium. So that was nice. Arizona came to open up their stadium for them. 38-20. Then they pounded on the Vandals of Idaho State. Not the Vandals. But they beat Idaho State 38-7. And then turned around and lost 35-7 to number 14 ranked Utah. After this game, they go to Boise, and then they pick up their Mountain West schedule with Hawaii. Well, I'm sorry, Boise, then Hawaii at Nevada, Fresno, UNLV, and San Jose State.
This might be the first season that they do not get 10 wins.
Right. It very well could be. I think if, you know, Zach, we looked a little bit at their stats earlier, and nothing stands out.
No, not from the offensive or the defensive side. I mean, you look at our stats and you compare them. Their offensive stats might be somewhat similar, but I definitely think we still top them. But our defensive stats, I mean, I think it's a two different ball games.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Their leading tackler has 13 tackles and 3 tackles for losses. I think DeJuan Johnson can do that in one game. If you look at their offense, they don't have any rusher over 55 yards a game. They don't have any receiver over 19 yards a game. And they're in a bit of a quandary with quarterback. They had 3 guys that were going to come back this year after last season to be in a quarterback battle. One guy hit the portal last year. Then this year, they had a couple of quarterbacks come back. One was a redshirt freshman, and the other is a junior. And the junior, Braxton Burmeister is a senior. He was a redshirt junior last year. Burmeister has been their starter for the first 3 games. He got hurt the last game. Will Haskell, who is a redshirt freshman, was brought in during the game against Utah, played 2 plays, and then was removed from the game by Coach Hoke. After that, they put in a true freshman, Kyle Crum, who went, I think, 5 of 16, had a pick, 1 touchdown, and averaged 25 yards a throw. So not horrible numbers for a true freshman coming in the middle of the game. But the next morning, Will Haskell, this would have been Sunday morning, went into a meeting with Brady Hoke and told him he was going to be leaving the program and jumped into the transfer portal. So
yeah,
that doesn't lead for a lot of confidence in your offense. No. Even though he wasn't a starter, he was the future of the program, according to the outlets in San Diego.
Yeah, especially when you compare it to our guys. I mean, you look at Daquan Finn and even Tucker Gleason. I mean, I'm looking at the stats. I'm pretty sure these are 2022 years. I mean, you're looking at Daquan Finn with 73 attempts for 541 yards. You know, a massive number compared to what they are. And then when you talk about rushing, 208 yards rushing already this season.
Right. 3 games. You know,
quarterback to quarterback, we're looking good.
Yeah. Yeah. And their quarterbacks do basically nothing in the rushing department. They add nothing to the program. So, I mean, if you're just looking at pure numbers, yeah, that we may seem similar, but hopefully Coach Candle can get this team amped up after the pounding they took last week, keep their heads high, and go into this game with kind of a chip on their shoulder.
A little more spunk or something, man. We need a little more.
A little life.
Yeah. So give them some life. Yeah, exactly.
And you know what's interesting is, you know, Brady Hoke, after he led Ball State, you remember back in 2008, Zach, you would have been 8?
7.
7, okay.
I'm 7, because I'm only the year, I'm only the age of the year for one day.
That's right. So anyway, yeah, so he led Ball State to a great start. They were 12-0, lost in the MAC championship game to Buffalo, and then got walloped in their bowl game. But they were ranked in the top 25. They were ranked actually 12th when they lost to Buffalo. So he parlayed that great season into a job at San Diego State. Of course, he went out there, turned them around right away, and Michigan said, hey, let's get this guy. Came in. Of course, Hoke was a former Michigan guy. He actually coached at UT back in the late 80s. In fact, I think Keith Dunbar, he might have been his position coach for a little bit. So he's back again at San Diego State. And, like I said, took him to a 10-2 record last year. Had a great season, and they ended up beating the University of Texas San Antonio in the Frisco Bowl, 38-24. And UTSA was pretty good last year. So anyway, just a little bit of background there on, you know, on their current situation with Brady Hoke. So it'd be interesting to see they get back home again, get some home cooking, and hopefully the Rockets will come out fired up and raring to go.
Looking at some comparisons to San Diego State and Toledo. Oh, since the 2015 season, San Diego State is 66-26. That ranks them 12th nationally in winning percentage. Toledo over that same period is 50-22, which ranks them 22nd. So they're both in the ballpark as far as accomplishments in the last several years. But I think knowing what we have just dealt with, and knowing what's lying ahead with San Diego State, I think we're in a little bit better position. Although they got thumped last week too, so
they got thumped, but we got massacred.
Yeah, we got backyard alley slammed
by 11 dudes on both sides.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say it, in my opinion, I don't think it was necessary for them to put up 77 when they only played two quarterbacks the whole game. Ohio State played two quarterbacks and three running backs for the entire game. You could have gotten your freshmen a lot more playing time. You could have gotten your sophomores, your redshirt freshmen, a lot more playing time. And like you said, why not put all the freshmen
on? Yeah, see what happens. I mean, these are the guys that are going to be your team in a couple of years. Give them a shot.
You're up by 45. I mean, really? Do you, or, you know?
Yeah, especially when you think, I mean,
Ohio do you need State, to be throwing in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, and oh, that's just wild. But Ohio State, I mean, you're going to turn over so many guys to the NFL next year. I mean, and the guys that don't go to the NFL, they either stay or
they jump
in the portal, because next thing you know, they're at LSU winning a Natty championship like Burrow.
Exactly.
So I'd say get them in there, you know, let them play, see what happens. I mean, and so what if we score a couple more points? We're not going to score
50 points in the last quarter.
No, it's just it's not going to happen.
It was. I understand Coach Day trying to do that for a reason. It was to send a message to the voters in the polls. Hey, yeah, we underperformed in our first two games. We didn't look great.
But look at this.
We're thumping them now.
But look at this. We blew out a MAC team. And a good MAC team at that. But still, it's like, oh, God. I mean, how do you really judge that?
I was going to say, this week, I think, is going to be a much better judge of the quality of our team heading into the MAC season. I think it's a more even playing field. I think it's two teams responding to adversity. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a much more even matchup for both teams. And I think it'll be a much, it's gotta be a much better game.
Yeah. I think it's going to be coaching, man.
Yeah. I think you're right. It comes down to, hey, which coach can rebound their team? Mm-hmm. And inspire them to do better.
Get them going, man. Get them going.
Right. Get back on track.
I definitely think it'll come down to coaching, because you look at our stats, you look at the players and everyone, we're all matching up. But the big thing is, you know, we both just got thumped. And we're going out there, so that's going to be a little harder. You know, you're in San Diego as a player. You're probably going to want to do the sights. You know, you're going to see the town.
Well, and there's a big time difference, too. Yep,
3 hours. So that's big. But then the other thing is coaching, man. If Kendall can get our guys in there, make them know that this is serious. It's a big game. These guys are good. They are not slouches. We really got to get in there, get them fired up. Because, I mean, if we win or we lose this game, I think that's going to be the pinnacle of our season, depending on how we move forward from here. If we win, I think the players are going to have a good head on their shoulders, and they're going to get in there, and they're going to be ready. we lose this, I think we're coming back from two losses back home. Or are we back home after this?
Yeah, homecoming. Yeah,
for homecoming.
Yeah. So we're back home, you know, and I just think the players, you know, like we got beat twice in a row. If Candle's still not firing them up, I mean, I think they're going to be down in the dumps. And I just don't think we're going to perform the way we can.
You're right. You're right. I think there needs to be some work in the wide receiver room. I think there was a lot of drops in that game, you know, notwithstanding the defensive back play by Ohio State, which was nothing huge coming in. They were not their best unit on defense.
No. I mean, they're still Ohio State, so you got to give them some credit. Right. You know, those guys are 4 or 5 stars.
But there was more drops than breakups.
If Finn is hitting you in the hands, body, face, chest, wherever, or close enough to catch, you need to catch the ball. Right. My dad used to emphasize that. Catch the ball. If it hits you in your hands and you don't catch it, that is a big, big error on your part, and that is not okay.
And that's why you're out there. You're a receiver, for God's sakes.
Catch the ball. I don't care if you get yards past the catch. Just catch the ball. And then from there, if you fall and get tackled, no big deal. But if you drop it, man, that's where we have a problem.
Right. And I think there needs to be some work done in that room this week. I think our defense, they matched up as well as they could against the talent they were playing. So
it's Ohio State, man. Yeah. You got to think one of the best offense systems in the country, not the best offensive by system. Far. I mean, you're looking at the only other team that matches up in close to them is Alabama.
Yeah. And the only other thing that it's been an issue since we've had, you know, the injuries on offense, on the offensive line, you know, these guys, they've got 3 games under their belt now. Mm. They need to start being more cohesive. And again, they're facing one of the best front 7 in the nation.
Yeah.
So it's a bad scenario to judge them from. But I think if anything, they're growing tighter.
Yeah. I think our offensive line right now is like stepbrother level, or like, you know, like cousin level. Yeah. They need to be brothers.
They need to be brothers. Exactly. They need to be. I've got this guy on any hill. I'm going to throw down my.
This is us. Exactly. This is us. This is us.
Needs to be that line against the world.
Yeah. Every play, every game, no matter who.
Exactly.
Thing I'm excited about this week, and this may be kind of a weird factor to look at, but the fact that it's 3:30 Toledo time, 12:30 Pacific time. We're used to this weather. We've been practicing in this weather ever since the dog days of August.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, you know, we're going out there, you know, 10:30 our time, 7:30 their time. It's a good time for us to play.
Yeah, 3:30 is a great time. I didn't even do the math there. So that's a really good time for us. And like you said, the weather, I mean, if it's 82 and sunny, Ohio gets hot, especially Toledo, Ohio. I mean,
hot and muggy.
We've had 90-degree days with 70% humidity. It feels like Florida.
Yeah.
So I think, with you saying that, I didn't even realize that. I think that's a good thing. I think that's a great thing, honestly.
Yeah.
Now me from a, since I'm going out there, and Pat's the one who got this whole thing started, but then his daughter had to go and get pregnant.
She had to go and get pregnant, and then she actually gave birth today. I don't think I've told you that yet.
Yeah.
She had Indy Lane Poplowski this afternoon at 12:14 p.m., 7 pounds and 14 ounces. 19 inches long, and mama and baby are doing great, happy and healthy.
Good news. Congrats.
So, congrats, Pat.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I'll be babysitting this weekend, so I couldn't probably go anyway. we did get the ball rolling and had our hotel, had the tickets ready to go. And then my daughter said, "Hey, you guys can't go out there for the game. It's the week I'm due with my baby." But damn, we booked these back in February or March. So,
yeah,
didn't even put 2 and 2 together. But anyway, you're heading out there, Ryan. I think you're gonna pick up your girls and have a fantastic time.
Yes, picking up Aislinn and Ava and Aislinn's boyfriend Cole. So the 4 of us will head right from PHX, as they call it out there, head straight to San Diego and check out the Gas Lamp District. I heard it's a fun time.
Yeah.
No. The Gas Lamp District, and Gas I heard Lamp? Old Town is really great. I don't know if they're one and the same and just have a different name, but definitely check out Old Town. I've been told by our buddy Steve Fogel, yes, my director of nutrition services at Toledo Hospital, who lived out there for a while, said you definitely got to check out
Old Town. We dropped a lot of names. This is like a who's who, a plethora of names.
Who's who. Get out the contact list.
People that are watching this are going to be on Google, like Googling people. All
right.
So it's, I guess it's
about, who the hell are they about talking
time to
about?
Do our predictions. Zach.
I think we are ready to do that, Ryan. Why don't you get the ball rolling here?
All right. I'm going to say Rockets defense comes out strong, gives up 14 points. Rockets offense comes out. They put 28 on the board. 28-14, your final.
All right. I like that. I like that. I am going to go similar route. I think our defense performs a little bit better, and they only give up 9 points. I'm saying, no, I'm going to say 10. I won't say a safety or a missed extra point, but I'm going to go with 10 points, and I think the Rockets win this one rather handily, 31-10.
I hope you're right. I hope you're more right than me.
I like that a lot. I like the 31 in there.
Yeah.
We think. I'm gonna be in the same ballpark as you guys. I think our defense is definitely gonna hold them steady. I'm gonna say 14. I think we give them two touchdowns. I think they're gonna have an early touchdown. Oh, you know, we're gonna be sleeping. Hopefully not. Hopefully Cam can get them going, but I think we're gonna be sleeping. So definitely an early touchdown by them. And then I think our Rockets offense, man, I think we're going to really light them up. So I'm going to say, let's go 14-38 Rockets.
Nice. Nice. I like the confidence. Once again,
yeah,
let's hope you're more accurate than last week, because nobody could see that 77 being hung up.
No, I mean, we all were in the low numbers. I would never, you could have told me it was 77-21, not even like, no.
Do we have a prediction from Kyle W. Smith? Not against the spread or anything, just a Toledo win.
Now, if you had the option, would you bet on this win?
I would, but I actually have not even looked up a spread.
I haven't looked up a spread either. Like I've always said, man, Toledo's a great school. I love them, but I wouldn't bet on them because you know what? When you bet on them, for some reason, they just happen to.
It comes back and bites you in the
ass. It comes back.
The latest line is Rockets favored by 3.
Okay. So we're all over predicting the hell out of that one.
Yeah, over under 45. So
I mean, I think we're all in the ballpark there with the over, 45. We're yeah. Gonna, yeah.
I just think our defense is way better than theirs. I mean, their leading tackler is 13. Our leading tackler is 24.
Right. And we've got several players over 13 tackles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Deontay Johnson. Right.
Deshaun Johnson.
Deswan. Yep. Deswan Johnson.
And Deontay Hines. Johnson. Hines. You've got Gant. Gant had 9 in one game.
Oh, I mean, Gant's an animal, man. He is an animal. I love
this that. Game will be on Fox Sports 1, FS1.
FS1.
So it's a nationally televised via cable, streaming, satellite, whatever you want to call it.
Just like you are tonight. You're coming to us live via satellite in Holland, Ohio.
That's right.
Via satellite. Zoom. He is 20 minutes away, but it feels like 6 hours, Ryan. We dearly miss you.
You can't smell me.
I mean, PJ Spiller is living up to his name.
That's right.
Spilling. And yeah, I'm still thinking about a name for myself.
Yeah, you get work on a little bit of a nickname if you can't. Ask some friends.
Here's the thing about nicknames. You can't give it to yourself.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Ask friends.
Yeah.
Hey, what should I go with on the podcast?
I'm coming up with Zach Attack.
See, that's so like cliche. I was thinking Zach the Mac. Again, so cliche, you know.
Zach from the Mac.
Yeah, I just wanted something a little more spunky.
Okay, well, we'll think about it.
We'll get there.
Maybe we can put out a flash poll on Twitter and see.
Yeah, Kyle's leaning towards Zach from the Mac, but I think we can.
We'll figure it out.
We can get creative with that one. Yeah. Anyways, that will be a topic for another episode. And as we get ready to wrap this one up here tonight, I just want to say thank you to Zach for becoming a full-time member of the Midnight Blue and Cold Launchpad podcast.
No, thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you all.
Absolutely.
All right. On behalf of engineer producer extraordinaire Kyle W. Smith, Zach from the Mac, Zach Palaida, PJ Spiller, a.k.a. Pat Gillick. I'm Rocket Ryan Brandt. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Or you'll listen to us next time. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, give us a listen.
Good night. Good morning. Good day.